We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Jason Mung. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Good. How are you, ladies, this morning?
Blessed and highly flavored with his favor.
Nice.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments. You can also send it in a private message. We'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, located in Corn, Oklahoma. They are a company that cares. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
You bet. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another beautiful day that you have woken us up to, Father. We thank you for your Spirit who lives in us that guides us through each and every day, Father. Father, I just pray for the listeners today, Father, that they would have open ears to hear what you have to say today, Father, and that it would fall on their hearts, God, and that it would produce good seed in their life, Father. Good fruits would come from those things that we pick up from what you have to lay down today, Father. We just thank you for that. We ask you to bless this time. We just thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title, Your Calling.
Yep, Your Calling. So this is actually just kind of sparked from some conversations and a video that I was kind of watching this week. Yesterday I spent like 4 hours on the phone with different people, and it was like there was this consistent topic, I guess you would say, that was kind of involved there. And I guess I'll use this moment to throw a little plug, because this kind of comes in to my story. But if you guys haven't seen yet, there is a 48-hour revival that's being put together for the city of Elk City. Jennifer had reached out to me and was kind of asking me some questions on that. And so we just kind of started talking, and it's really cool how I hope she don't mind me sharing her story a little bit, but she was just sharing, like, there was this big thing that God laid on my heart, and the first thing that we want to see that we often go to when God lays something on our heart is we want to start disqualifying ourselves, right? And so this morning, or yesterday rather, I was watching a video of the Whiteheads on Flyover Conservatives. They have a channel on Rumble as well. I was watching them, and they were doing an interview with a guy, and this was actually a guy that was one of the very foundational people into the Epoch Times, which is a very truth-oriented newspaper. And so this guy had a graphic design. He'd went to college and got all this and that, and had actually come from kind of a small country life and moved into big city life, into New York and things like that. But he just kind of walked away from everything because of the things that just drew his heart. And so he had made this statement. He said, the things that uniquely bother or catch our attention are the things that God uniquely equips us to engage into those areas. And I thought, dude, like, that's an awesome statement. And the way I would look at that into the word is like, that's your calling, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I know, you know, with walking in ministry for a lot of years and with people, that's one of the things that people probably struggle with the most. What's my calling, right? Yeah. And we'll even look at someone else and we'll think, Well, they know who they are. They know their calling. They're walking in it perfectly, not realizing that's not even the truth most of the time. They're just doing it day by day. And is it their calling? Absolutely. Because it's what God has equipped them with. Mm-hmm. But they're still dealing with the same stuff of, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this where I'm supposed to be at? Mm-hmm. All of those things. And so I just wanted to talk about that today. Because I know in ministry, when it comes to a fivefold, you know, walking as a pastor, a teacher, apostle, evangelist, any of those where, like, oftentimes the body of Christ, and we've even been conditioned in this in just the church setting, like right now it's the pastor, evangelist is something we've kind of seen, you know, but those have really kind of faded out, even in my lifetime. You don't see too many evangelists nowadays. But we look at those people, and it's like we recognize their calling. But we don't recognize that there's a calling on each and every one of our lives. And, you know, a couple of scriptures that come back to my mind in that is it says that many are chosen, but few are called. And, again, kind of my conversations that I've been having this week, like, what does that mean? What does that verse mean? God draws our hearts, many of our hearts, right? But it's our response to him that qualifies us to be the chosen. It's our response, you know, because God has a calling on each and every person on this entire earth. And, you know, and some people think, what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every one of us that were created with purpose, which is what? A calling into what God has created us to be. And every one of us is so uniquely and intrinsically designed by God to fulfill whatever that was in our life. And again, what does the word say with that? Like, if we love him, like he directs everything that we do. And there's a trust that we must have in doing that and walking that out. And, you know, I just want to encourage those people out there today that maybe are saying, I'm still looking. I'm still searching. I don't even know what that looks like to know you're not the only one. Even when you listen to guys like me or other pastors or apostles or prophets that are walking in the calling, that like we've found our way there, right? But kind of going back to that statement, if you find yourself uniquely geared towards something, if something is pulling you, there's a reason for that. And so I looked at my own life, and I know I just went all over the place. I'm going to come back around. When I looked into my own life, the pursuit of God for my life has never quit. Through circumstance, no matter how big or small, through roadblocks, through distractions, all of those things, I never took my heart off the pursuit of God and what he had for my life. And sometimes people think, you know, when you're seeking that calling, you know, that's the error in humanity in us is, well, I've been looking for this and it's not coming quick enough, or I still don't feel it. And no matter what that time frame is, I'm still not feeling it, I'm still not walking in it. I want to encourage you today, if that's what you're feeling, you're already walking in it. You're just still on your journey to it, right? And so I look back at my life. Am I who I am called to be today? Absolutely. But is this who I've always been? No, it's not. There has been a journey of me being here. As a matter of fact, my identity was built for many years as a sign guy, as a graphic designer. And it's not that that was without purpose, because even in that, what I'm doing now was still taking place then, because there was things that God had laid on my heart that was unique to me, right? There was just something that I was drawn to, like that statement that I made that I just could not overlook. And what that was for me was seeing the body of Christ on this path that was not taking him to the greatest truth. You know, it was kind of like we were stuck. You know, I think about those cattle pens, they get them in a circle. Mm-hmm. And it's like they just constantly move. They're always moving, but they're never getting anywhere, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, that's kind of what I felt with the body of Christ, and that has always bothered me, you know, even from a child, is just growing up and my journey through different denominations and what that looked like, but in pursuit of God more than anything, over anything that a man had to offer, anything that a system had to offer, pursuing God and mm-hmm. him leading me out of some things and into other things. But it was constantly me being led to, and what I know now is why he put me here. Mm-hmm. You know, like what my purpose is here on the earth. to do. And from that, now establishing a ministry, the Fivefold Training Center, that will equip others sooner than I got it. You know, mm-hmm. it will put them on a path where it gets them out of the roundy round, where we don't want to just be moving. We want to be in pursuit. We want to be advancing the kingdom, right? Not just moving. And it's like in that place, like God had, there was just something inside of me that God had put from a long time ago. But it didn't matter what I was going on in my life along the way, because for a long time I was a business owner, a sign maker, a graphic designer, and doing all that. But there was people that come into my shop that would just spill, right? Like, just, this is what's up. This is what's going on. And I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I'm, you know, this, that, or the other. And it's like, well, there's a better way. Let's get you out of that roundy round, right? Let's let's get in pursuit of the kingdom of God. And I've always had a couch in my business when I was running the sign shop. There's always been a couch. And I can't tell you how many people have just come in and sat on my couch. And that was always, even in my business, like, there's always things to get done. But I never allowed what needed to be done in business to be more important than the person that had time to sit on my couch. And there would be days that I would not get things done in my timeline because someone came in and sat on the couch. But I mean, I recognized even in that place that God was the provider. He had brought me everything that I had. It wasn't about how good or how efficient that I was going to do my job or those things that was going to bring value to my life or even provision to my life. It was Him, you know? Mm. And so walking that out with people was, and this is something I learned from my dad, and it would sometimes drive my mother completely crazy, because the most important person in that man's life was whoever was standing in front of him, you know? And I learned from that. I gleaned that from his life, and that is something that I have put in my life. I have purposed in my life that whoever is in front of you is the most important person. Because if they had the time for you, then you should always have the time for them, right? And I see that in the life of Jesus. Another thing, just kind of this week that I was reminded of, when you look at all the gifts that we pursue sometimes in a way that we shouldn't, that we see that God promises, do you realize all of those gifts come through love? Mm-hmm. Not one of those gifts can function outside of love. Because if they do, then you're looking for glory in your own self. And it's like, so having time, making time out for people, that's always a response of love, right? Mm-hmm. Because most of the time when they're coming to you, it's they're looking for wisdom, they're looking for understanding, and they're just looking for an ear to hear what they have to say, because maybe nobody else has given them that. And your response in love can be crucial in that moment, right? So I always make the person in front of me the most important thing. And like I said, sometimes that would get in the way of my schedule at work or what I had to get done that day, this, that, or the other. But I didn't care, because loving them, making sure that they walked out of that door knowing that they were heard, that they were loved, and that they were known by God. Mm-hmm. Like, those were the three most important things. And so it didn't matter what I was doing at that time, because I was a sign guy at that time. But it has led me to what I now know is why God put me on this earth, you know? And I was in my 40s before that came about. And so I don't care what age you're at. Don't discount where you're at. God has put some things inside of you, and you're drawn to a certain area. So hone in on that, right? There's a reason that that's in there. There's a reason that you feel a certain way about certain things. It's because God put you in that place. And doesn't mean that you're going to have the full understanding of that. Just know that this is going to be a constant in the pursuit, my journey, my advancement of the kingdom. This is going to be a constant. Why? Because it just won't leave me. And like I was saying with my deal, that has led me now to establish a ministry so that we can get people on the page a lot earlier than in their 40s, right? To what is your calling? What is God calling you to? And let's pursue that with our whole hearts. And let's give you the skills and the tool sets from the Word of God. In how to walk that out. And so I just thought, man, that was a really cool statement. And getting to hear other people's stories of what that looks like. And so now I'm going to go back to the 48-hour revival. So talking with a couple of friends of mine that are a big part of this, and Jennifer is the one that's kind of founding this. So there's another lady that I'm connected with, and she had actually mentioned something similar to this last year to me at the end of the year. And she's like, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this, you know? And it's always funny, like, when somebody starts walking in ministry, everybody brings you all these ideas, right? Like, I am bombarded constantly with ideas like, man, you know what we should do? You know what we should do? You know what we should do? And again, even in light of what we're talking about, you know what I tell them? There's a reason that's on your heart.
Yes.
That's not for me. I'm not saying I won't support you. I'm not saying I won't help you. But that's not my gig. That's your gig. There's a reason that's in your heart, you know? And that's what a lot of times people won't understand that. They just think, oh, that was just a passing thought, or I thought it'd be cool with this, that, or the other. No, you're uniquely moved on the inside because God has uniquely gifted you to walk that out and to do that. And will it be bigger than you? Absolutely. You know, like, I'm here to say that. Like, this journey of mine has taken me to places I thought I would never go. Like, I walked away from that business. I closed the door, locked the door, and walked out in obedience because that's what God said, not seeing one step on the other side of what that was going to look like. And, like, I know that's a scary place. But, you know, it's kind of like, I think about this, you know, let's use a simple analogy. You ever been in one of those circumstances, you know, whether it's a kid or adult or whatever, maybe a dark room or a canyon or whatever, and they're like, nah, you go first. Like, I'm not going in there, right? Like, you go first. Yeah, right behind you. You know, and it's like, okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if you're right behind me, then I'm going to go. You know, then I'm going to go. And it's like, God uses that. And that's what, you know, talking about this, these stories just in life, God uses that in the lives of other people as well as your life, you know, because this journey is not to bring glory to me. It's to bring glory to God in through it. But do I have to walk in obedience? Absolutely. I do. And I want to encourage you to do the same in whatever your journey is, you know. And I've talked about this a little bit before, but looking at Paul's life, you know, the first time I ever read, look at me, when Paul says, watch me, I thought, dude, that is so arrogant. But he wasn't being arrogant. He was being humble. What he was saying was, watch me because I know where I came from. I know who I've been. Mm-hmm. I know who I was. And I'm not that guy anymore because there's a God that intervened on my behalf. And now he has set me on a path that I know, that I know, that I know. And if you'll follow me, you're going to see some of the coolest things you've ever seen. If you follow me, you're going to find the calling that you've been in pursuit of in your life. And he wouldn't say necessarily following in exactly his calling, but he was saying, look at the things I'm doing and mimic those. That's what Jesus called us to, too. You see my life, you go do it, too. You know, and when we see Christians walking in that way, be encouraged by their life. Don't be jealous. Don't be covetous. Don't do those things, but rather look at their life and say, wow. I'm right behind you, man. Yeah. You know, like, if we see somebody who has walked in a way that is outside of the norm, you know, and for me, that's what I did. I walked outside of the norm. I did something that if you did what made sense to the mind, if you did what made sense to the pocketbook, all of those things, it didn't make sense, you know, in the ways of man, in the eyes of man, it didn't make sense. And let me tell you, I've had plenty of friends and family question that. What are you doing, dude? I'm advancing the kingdom. I'm in pursuit of God and the calling that he's put inside me because that he has uniquely put inside of me, I will not give up pursuit of it. I won't. And it will take me to places that make no sense to you. And I'll be honest, it's taken me places that made no sense to me. But you know what I know? God has provided for every step along the way. Every step. And it's so cool to see that playing out in my life. And it gives me a better understanding of what Paul was talking about when he said, watch me, you know? And I'm not here to say watch me, but I am here to say, be encouraged by my life because I'll be the one that walked off into the dark corner first when everybody was like, what the heck is going on here? Because that's how God has uniquely gifted me and empowered my life to do something that's a little bit outside of the box from what everybody else has been saying, you know? And it's like, that's encouraging. And so, this conversation about this 48-hour tent revival that's coming up. So Jennifer had reached out to me, and I'm helping her with the design of the flyers and all this and that. You know, I'm still gifted in that area too, so I'm going to utilize those gifts. Mm-hmm. So designed that up for her and got that information to her. Well, then she said, I asked her if she had a Facebook page. No. And I said, well, I know somebody that's actually kind of pretty good at that. And matter of fact, oddly enough, we have talked about this before. And so I put them two in contact, and that's all kind of worked out organically, and it's been awesome, and we're moving forward with that. But then she calls me yesterday, and she's like, do you remember when we talked about this last year? Say it was last November-ish. I was like, I do. You remember what you said? I don't. No, I don't, you know? And she's like, you told me sometimes that God puts things on our hearts, not so that we actually carry them out, but that we spend time in prayer before him because of that. And she said, what I didn't tell you back then was God specifically even laid Jennifer's, because she knows Jennifer in life, she laid her on my heart all the way back then.
I love it.
But I didn't know why. I didn't know why. And she said, but what I did do was I just kind of dismissed it. I didn't pray about it. You know, and I was, and she's like, and now, like, I'm, and, you know, what I was going to do in that place is, okay, there's no condemnation. We're not going to beat ourselves up because we missed it, because the reality is there was nothing that was missed, but there was a lesson to be learned as we pursue, right? And that's what we talked about, you know? And I was just like, so next time when something is laid on your heart, why that uniquely pushing in one thing, then what do? You pursue God in it. And if there's nothing that can happen in the natural, then pray about it. Pray over it. Pray over the situation, because God may be just giving you a little bit. He may be giving you a glimpse of what he's going to lead you into that's going to be much bigger than what you are. I promise that, you know, because he doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called, right? That's what he does. And he gives you every tool and everything necessary to walk out those things that he's calling your life to. And if it wasn't bigger than you, then you wouldn't need him. You know, if it wasn't bigger than you, you wouldn't need his help anyway, because you got it all figured out, right? And that's the worst place we can be in. We don't ever want to be that way. Let's take a break right there.
Amen. Something that when I came back and you kind of mentioned it, Pastor Dwight told me when I started coming back to church, and I had so much shame, Jason, about my past.
Right.
Being a stripper in Dallas and just everything, my choices.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I had so much shame and condemnation on me. And Pastor Dwight said, and I took it, man, I've got it on t-shirt after t-shirt because it meant that much to me.
Right.
That he said, you know, and it just went straight to my heart and really helped me. He said to me, he said, and this is the church's motto, your future is not determined by your past,
right,
but by how you respond to God today. And every day you wake up is today.
Yep.
How are we responding? And this, and I want to say something about this revival. I seen it. A few years ago, I had a vision of a revival here.
Yeah.
And me being me, I thought it was mine.
Right.
Not, you know what I mean?
Right.
My, for me to do. And so I've been praying. Made a Facebook, pray. And it almost, be honest, okay. And to be honest, it kind of hurt my feelings when the Lord said, I didn't put that on you to do. You need to intercede.
Yeah.
Pray for that, which I have shown you. To come to fruition. I'm sorry. That's not a word that I use every day. And here it is.
Yeah.
But me, I seen it. And it was like, I got real excited and came to my own understanding.
Right.
And when I slowed down enough and calmed down enough, I was able to hear the Lord say, I didn't put that on you for you. I showed you so that you could be in prayer and intercede and believe for it.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited about this.
I am too. I'm pumped about it.
So excited.